This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In 2012, Malaysian authorities detained and deported a poet to Saudi Arabia to certain prosecution. Hamza Kashgari was en route to New Zealand to escape allegations that he had sent out three religiously offensive Twitter messages. Despite attempts to stop his deportation, he found himself back in Saudi Arabia and was sentenced to 2 years in jail. Saudi Arabia's persecution of political dissidents rarely comes so close to home. Today, the case of Saudi blogger Raif Badawi is grabbing global headlines. Adam Kugel is a Middle East researcher with the NGO Human Rights Watch.
Raif Badawi, even in 2011 or so, created a website which was called the Saudi Liberal Network, in which he invited people to come and post their commentary on religion in a free way, in a way that certainly the religious authorities in Saudi Arabia would not accept. And they debated other concepts as well, such as, you know, democracy and freedom of expression and things like that. Eventually, this got Raif into trouble and he was arrested in 2012. His trial took a very, very long time. He wasn't actually convicted until mid-2013. And then his case was rejected, or initial sentence was rejected on appeal, and it was re-ruled upon in 2014, actually making the sentence much, much harsher. And eventually, this was upheld by the Saudi Supreme Court in a few weeks ago. So his sentence, or his charges, are essentially insulting religious authorities and insulting Islam. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, 1,000 lashes, and back to a 10-year travel ban following his sentence.
In January this year, Raif received 50 of his 1,000 lashes, but the remainder of his sentence has been delayed. Human rights groups had pressured Saudi authorities to suspend the lashings on the grounds of Raif's deteriorating health. Kashgari, however, was less fortunate. He was jailed without trial. Latifa Koya is a human rights lawyer with the local NGO Lawyers for Liberty. She tells us how Malaysia was complicit in Kashgari's prosecution.
If you remember 2012, there was a case of a poet by the name of Hamza Kashgari who was actually accused of apostasy for tweeting about a poetry about the prophet. And he came to Malaysia on his way to New Zealand. And what did we do? We had an injunction to stop him from being sent back. Despite that, our own police and our own authorities actively not only arrested him, but accompanied him to be sent back to Saudi. That's the kind of thing that we have done. In fact, our authorities lied about the fact that this was a request. Apparently, this was a request by Interpol, which was not the case.
Can human rights campaigns be effective when targeting non-democratic governments like that of Saudi Arabia? While it took 2 years for Saudi officials to quietly release Kashgari after a prolonged campaign, the call to release Raif is ongoing. Latifa feels that Malaysia must take a stand on such cases.
Well, I think every statement or any statement coming from any countries which are seen as business partners or trading partners, saying such a thing would definitely have an effect. In fact, I think all the pressures that was brought upon by not only countries but organizations has actually brought some sort of pressure, and they've stayed his whipping sentence for now. So I think it would be helpful. So whether it's a small country like Malaysia or a big country like US, I think it would be important for them to say it. So I wouldn't go on the line that just because Malaysia is a small country, so what difference does it make? No, it does. It would make a difference, not only towards Saudi, but towards Malaysia themselves. Because if you are going to say something, then you also have to make sure that you do not do it yourself. So in a way, it serves a dual purpose.
Kugel points out that Raif's case is unique in that it has successfully gained media attention thanks to street protests and demonstrations. Will Saudi officials heed these international voices?
I think it's a complicated situation. I think it's very difficult to get the Saudi authorities to move on this kind of issue, right? The problem is a lot of people have done a very, very wonderful job highlighting the injustice that was done to Raif Badawi and, in fact, to other activists in Saudi Arabia, including human rights activists. And they've taken their campaign to the streets. They've done a lot of demonstrations. They've gotten a lot of media attention. And frankly, in looking at what has worked with the Saudi authorities in the past, traditionally, media attention, media scrutiny, is what gets them to back down and move on a particular issue. However, in the Raif Badawi case, because religion is deeply sort of at the heart of his case, it becomes somewhat more difficult, because the more the case gains notoriety, it also entrenches the religious conservatives who have influence over the policymakers in Saudi Arabia, right? So the more that his case generates criticism of Saudi Arabia, the more the religious hardliners also dig in against any sort of idea that Raab would be released or not have to serve his sentence. So I think, in a weird way, the Saudi government, right, the actual decision makers, are in a difficult position here, because if they're to pardon him, you know, they might have a mini rebellion by the religious establishment, people who they depend on to maintain their power. Or if they're to keep him in jail, they'll continue to get heavily criticized by, you know, the international press, as well as primarily European countries. Of course, without hesitation, I say they should absolutely release him. They should begin to respect basic rights, and they should begin to reform their religious establishment so that it doesn't have such a chokehold on society and prevent people from being able to express themselves.
According to Kugel, Raif is not the sole liberal figure in what is largely seen as a conservative society.
If you look at social media, you've seen the Saudi authorities invest a lot of resources over the past few years in trying to root out any kind of criticism that they see coming from Saudi citizens and others over social media, right? So they see that social media is a potential avenue by which Saudi citizens could discuss openly and freely their ideas, could come together, could potentially form, you know, opposition groups. And because of that, the authorities have really invested a lot of resources into rooting that out, finding, locating these people, putting them on trial, and convicting them to sort of absurdly long jail sentences based purely on, you know, their peaceful practice of the basic right of free expression.
Some would argue that the case of Raif Badawi is specific to the Saudi Arabian context and that we have little to learn from it. Latifa disagrees.
Of course, we may not have 10 years of sentence or whipping, but it's there. We have sedition. We have various types of draconian law that is used, and arrests has happened for people who have tweeted out for saying something which is deemed as liberal or secular, or what they claim as an anti-Islam statement. So this is certainly relevant.
That was Latifa Koya, a lawyer with the local NGO Lawyers for Liberty. Earlier on, we heard from Adam Kugel, a Middle East researcher from the international NGO Human Rights Watch. I'm Sharad Kutin, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.